Cape Talk.
Ask Dr. Josh.
Yes, indeed. So it's that time of the week where we ask Dr. Josh, and I'm joined on the line by Dr. Josh Klaper, who, of course, is our resident psychologist and behavioural scientist. Hi, Dr. Josh.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. So it's the stuff of sort of soap operas and things that where somebody goes to, you introduce the new person in your life, the love of your life to your friends, and they all sort of smile and nod. And then when you get home, the phone calls start or messages start happening between the friends saying, "What did you think? I thought he was a nightmare. He was dreadful. What was he wearing? And why didn't he pay for dinner?" And all the rest of it. Should we care if our friends don't like our partners?
Yes, we should. And the challenge is, very often while they're talking amongst themselves, they're smiling at you. So you all go out, everyone's smiling, they go back, they're talking amongst themselves, no one's really talking to you immediately, and then you start getting, more times than not, it's the vibe. It's the subtle things. It's the, I'm not sure about his career, or is he really or she really that. So what happens is, more times than not, they don't just come out and say, "I hate him or her," and they're not right for you, which in some ways would actually probably be better because it'd be clear. Instead, there's these subtle nuances, and the problem with that is, it doesn't always send a clear message to you, and as hopefully we'll get into, it may not always be about their dislike of your partner, but maybe even their jealousy of you and the new situation that you're in.
Mm. See, that when I thought about this, and I've thought about situations, I've been the friend that doesn't like the partner. I've probably been the partner that's not liked by the friend, and I've certainly been the person whose partner hasn't been liked by the friends. And in all of these situations, there are, as you said, there are different elements at play. One of them is that it's just a clash of personalities, and you're not going to like everybody. There's no issue with the way that the person treats you, but they're just, your friends just don't like them. Then there's the issue of, I don't like them because I don't like the way that they treat you, which I think that for me is when the red flags start going. It's like, this isn't about them being bitchy or difficult. They are concerned for me. And then there's the one that you spoke about, where it's the jealousy sort of aspect. And you know, there've been times where I'm very, my best friend, as you know, my best friend just got married. And luckily, I love his husband. He's a really nice guy. However, there have been people in the past who I really haven't liked. Most of them, actually, the people beforehand. And somebody said to me once, "You know, the thing is, SJ, it's actually none of your business. You don't need to let him know that you don't like his partner, because it doesn't affect you."
Yes, it does. It does affect you. You're his friend, right?
Mm.
I mean, that's... So
I mean, shouldn't I have that goodness in my heart where you say, "Well, as long as you're happy, then, you know, I'm happy too."
Yeah, well, yeah, but it still affects you. I mean, this is, the jealousy part is really interesting, because you're absolutely right. Look, if there's major red flags, and we've talked about that other times, you know, he or she's not treating you right.
Yeah.
They look to be shady characters. Then usually your friends will come forth. Now, the problem is, a lot of times if you're in love, you may not be in a position to actually hear that. But what I find really interesting is, and then you've just gone through this, it's this transitional period where before they were married or before they were with somebody, they maybe were spending more time with you, or at least more contact time. They're talking on the phone or messaging or whatever. But now their heart is split. And what I mean by that is, they're dedicated to someone else and they still want to have your friendship. Well, you get less of them, or at the very least, you get less of their emotional bandwidth. And there's a lot of friends who, even in the goodness of their heart, they have a hard time with that. I mean, they don't wish ill will, but that's no fun, because this is your friend.
Mm.
This is the person you spent time with, and now their heart is no longer dedicated to you. It is dedicated to the love of their life. And as a result, you may start thinking less of the love of their life, because they're taking your friend away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about those telltale signs that your friends aren't as enamored with your partner as you may be.
You know, the most obvious ones are the subtle jabs that are usually thrown out in the form of a question, like, what do you think about his career? Or her career? What do you think about their hair? What do you think about the way they do this? You know, so that's usually a friend's way of gently beginning to test the waters.
Mm.
Pay attention to that, because your friends don't have to say that. So you got to think about it. If they're coming forth with that, there's a reason. Now, it may be jealousy, maybe something else, but that's one of them. The second thing is, if you find that your friends are kind of disappearing, like they're not inviting the two of you out of there, or even when you're by yourself, you're no longer included as much. It's not that you've been deserted, but you kind of look around and, well, they're all going out and they're not asking you. Sometimes it's because they think you've moved on, but sometimes it may be a subtle way of saying, well, look, if you're going to choose them, then we're going to go someplace else. Those are two real telltale signs.
Eek. Okay. Yeah, they sound familiar. They sound familiar. Okay. So once that's sort of been established, are you right as the person to call them out and say, listen, hold on a minute. You're not including me or you're making I've noticed that you're making these comments. What's the deal here?
Yo, yeah, of course. See, the biggest problem we have in relationships, I feel like I say this every week, but it's all those things, all those conversations that we know we're uncomfortable about, those are the ones we avoid, and we end up creating bigger problems because we don't address it. So your friends aren't telling you that they feel I mean, imagine if your friend came to you and said, look, your new lover is great, they're fine, but frankly, it hurts my heart that I don't get to be with you as much.
Mm.
You would approach it very differently than if they just didn't talk to you. You would interpret it very differently. So if your friends had the courage to come forth, while you might be defensive, you might also understand. Similarly, you flip it on its head and you go, hey, why aren't you all talking to me anymore? Or why is it that when he's around or she's around, you're deserting? Well, tell me, you're my friends, talk to me. But we tend not to do that because we're so afraid of what the answer is going to be.
Mm. Here's one. We don't always pick the best partners for ourselves. That's just a fact. And sometimes they come and go, and sometimes we marry them and have kids with them. That is, to me, that's a real conflict, where you genuinely, as the friend, think this person is harmful to my friend. And sometimes it's, you know, if you know it to be, if there's physical or emotional abuse or whatever, if the husband, wife, or whoever is cheating. Do you think it's possible to continue an honest and healthy relationship with your friend while there's this sort of elephant in the room? Like, how long do you remain the supportive friend who listens to the woes of your friend about this partner before you just going, look, I've told you I don't like them. I've told you that I think maybe you're sort of better off without them. I just don't really want to talk about it anymore. Or is the onus upon you to say, look, I'm your friend and I'm here for better or worse?
So I think, you know, timing is everything. You know, look, you're talking to a psychologist, and, you know, how many times as a therapist do you essentially say the same thing to a client, you know, sometimes for months, if not years, just in different ways, and they may or may not be ready to hear that. So the same thing applies here. You may have expressed to your friend, I don't think they're good for you. But in the early stages of a relationship, chances are your friend is going to be there in love, they're in lust. They're not going to hear you. And so if you're a true friend, and if you're seeing this relationship sort of not going down a good path, then part of what you need to do as a friend is be there to listen, but also to be there to be on message, because it may take 27 times of telling them in different ways to get them to actually understand, or it may take you 27 times of telling them, coupled with 6 months of being with this person. Does that make sense? It's not, they're not always going to hear it. And if you just wipe your hands of it, well, it's their life, I'm going to go on. And, you know, that's not a friend. That's not a friend. Now, you may reach a point at which you say, look, this is wearing me out, and then you state your case, and you say, I'm here to listen, but I got to tell you, I don't feel good about this situation.
Hmm. Here's one for you.
Okay.
Okay. So about 4 years ago, about 4 years, and I'm suddenly thinking, will this friend be listening from England? Almost certainly not. About 4 years ago, a friend of ours in my little sort of my social group, and I was living back in South Africa by that point. I'd gone to the UK for Christmas, and a friend in my social group said, "I want you to meet my new boyfriend." And she'd met him on Tinder, and we were all very, very excited because she'd had her heart broken in the past, and you know, and she'd said such great things about this person. So there we are, waiting at another friend's house, and she arrives with said partner. Let's call him Bob. And the minute Bob walks in the door, my gaydar goes off. The second that, and I'm thinking, well, this guy's clearly gay. So we have a very pleasant evening, all of us, and we sit there and whatever. The minute they walk out the door, of course, we all get together and go, clearly gay. And this then kind of became an ongoing thing. And it got to the point where I so vehemently believe that this person is gay and that my friend doesn't realise or believe or whatever, that I kept phoning other friends in the group and saying, do I say something? Do we have a responsibility as her friend to say, have you ever maybe thought that Bob might be gay? Well, blow me down with a feather if she didn't marry Bob about a month ago, in a very, very camp ceremony, it has to be said. What are your thoughts on a situation like that? And I suppose the same could be said for if you believe that your friend's partner might be cheating or something that could ultimately cause them harm.
Okay, so, now you threw the cheating in there. I was with you until you on gay, and then
okay, let's do gay first and cheating later.
Okay, so but I would say in both cases, you probably, if you're going to approach your friend, you need more than a hunch with no evidence. So that's where I was going with you with the homosexuality, and I'd almost say the same thing with cheating as well.
Okay.
Going up to a friend and saying, I think they're gay. Or, I feel like they're cheating. Your friend is going to say, well, why would you say that? Now it's back on you. And you go, well, it's my gaydar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's almost like the conversation is not going to go much farther. So and particularly the cheating. Now, the cheating, the cheating is a really dangerous one. Because now you're accusing potentially of somebody of being unfaithful. You better have something other than it's just my gut impression. Now, with cheating in particular, you can say, I've seen them flirting with lots of other people. I see them on social media. You know, there's more evidence. With the gay part, I think you can throw it out there, but to some degree, they have to come about that themselves. I mean, I think you throw it out there once, and then you leave it alone and let them experience it. Because there's a difference between them discovering that their partner's gay, still a heartbreak,
yeah,
versus them discovering that their partner is cheating, particularly if you've got some evidence.
You see, I did.
None of it's easy.
None of it's easy. And you know what? And another gay friend of mine said, but maybe she does know. Maybe she does know.
Yes. Well, and that's just it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But I would say this. One of the things I think you need to ask yourself before you're going to communicate either to your friend about their new love interest, or if you are in that love interest, back to your friends about a bad vibe, is ask yourself, how close are my friends? How long have we known each other? How intimate are we connected? How much do we trust each other? I mean, ask yourself these things, because you've got friendship currency. And I say this a lot. Look, one hard conversation may be hard. It may feel hurtful. It may be uncomfortable. But if you have a close relationship with your friends, it will not destroy the relationship.
True.
It won't destroy it. And if it does, if it utterly destroys it on one tough conversation, then you know what I'm going to say. You didn't have much of a friendship to begin with.
That's a really important one, and I think for me, something that's happened to me in the past is that people have come to me and said, "We really, really like so and so, but I just don't think they're good for you." And that to me, that's as painful as it is. It's really real to say, you know, it's not that we have anything against him personally, but we just don't think he's good for you. And then I kind of, you know. To me, that kind of seals the deal, really.
Well, and it's a conversation opener, Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
You can ask, why? You know, why do you not think he's good for me? And again, the onus, there is an onus on your friends. If you're going to go tell your friend that you don't like or don't think that this partner is right for them, you are stepping into their business. As a friend, if it's coming from the heart, that's okay. But you better be prepared to say why. Not just, you know, I just feel it. I just think so.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
No, it's for sure.
It's too dangerous and too personal of a conversation to say I just. And that's the whole part about intimate conversations and difficult conversations. You better take it seriously. But you also need to know that you've got some currency because they are your friends. But let me say this. Sometimes when your friends are acting as if they don't like your partner, I'm telling you so many times, they are jealous. They may be jealous that you're in a relationship and they're not. They may be jealous that you're going away from them and they're not going to have you anymore. And so while they may not say they hate your partner, they may throw out subtle jabs because they just don't like where it's going and they haven't adjusted to it yet.
One of the things that I remember the show, the Ricky Lake show? I don't know if that's even still on anymore. Oh, Ricky Lake. And one of the key phrases that always used to come out when there would be some disagreement between the guests on stage, and it was normally, you know, there was normally a lot of sort of hand waving and head shaking when this was being said, was, you know, friends are for life, and men come and go, and friends are for life. And I kind of think, yeah, but we do marry our partners. I mean, we do enter into legal and sort of emotional binding contracts with them. So I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, it's a very nice thing to sort of throw out there to kind of as a conversation stopper, as a before you flounce out of a room. But it's not necessarily true, is it? All partners, men
no,
come and go,
I mean,
women come and go, or bros before whatever that awful phrase is, and all that.
I
kind
mean,
of
that
jazz.
Whole thing, yeah, that shows again. That's an immaturity on the person on the friend. Mm. That's a sign of immaturity because exactly what you just said. Yes, friends can be for life. So can life partners.
Yeah.
And guess what? You can have a life partner and friends both for life.
Yeah.
It's the transition. It's the transition. And that's why I'm saying it's very important that if your friends don't like your partner or if you've got a bad vibe from your friends, it's critical for you to find out what's going on. Is it that we're all just kind of transitioning and adjusting? Or is it that they really have a reason that they don't like them? Look, we see the same thing. Take two married couples, one who has kids or starts to have kids and the other doesn't. The ones who have kids get dropped by the wayside because there's even though they may have been friends for life, there's less in common. It doesn't pair up as much. And so it's so important to know if you love your friends and you trust your friends, it is important to know from their heart why are they saying this, and it's okay to acknowledge to them that, look, I get it. I'm not spending as much time with you. Maybe you're angry with me about that, but tell it to me straight so that I can have a good life and I can be the best friend that I can be.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. As always, you make perfect sense. I do just want to read this WhatsApp out before we say goodbye. Dylan says, what's worse than people disliking your partner is when your friends and family like your partner more than they like you.
Yes, that's a whole other show.
That's a, that's a whole other topic. Dr. Josh, it is always great to have you on the show. Let's chat again next week.
Thank you, Sarah Jane. Have a good night.